Hey everyone, we hope you're doing well today. Incidentally, I wanted to just reach out and ask our listeners how you are, how you're feeling, what's going on for you. Weird, not doctors, no part of me is. I just am trying to do the very minimal that I can at this point. I have to remain in isolation because of my immune system and just other health problems, so I am staying indoors as much as possible and constantly washing my hands, my face, and it is a lot, and I know it is. So let me know how you are doing and what's going on for you. As we said before, we'll be continuing this We Read series. It's just a special thing that we wanted to do because of how many people had reached out lately about just their overwhelming anxiety, how triggering it is for people to remain indoors, and all of the et ceteras that entails. Also, just to be clear, I know that we have specifically a mental health podcast, but I've also had a few people reach out because their kids are off of school and they're running out of things to do. So if you have children, the We Reads episodes can also be quite enjoyable for them as well. So, without further ado, I'm going to go ahead and just jump right into today's story. Thanks very much for joining us on this series of the We Reads, and we'll talk to you guys soon. Thanks. Bye. Green Eggs and Ham by Dr. Seuss. I am Sam. I am Sam. Sam, I am. That's Sam I am. That's Sam I am. I do not like that Sam I am. Do you like green eggs and ham? Do not like them, Sam I am. I do not like green eggs and ham. Would you like them here or there? Would not like them here or there. I would not like them anywhere. I do not like green eggs and ham. I do not like them, Sam I am. Would you like them in a house? Would you like them with a mouse? I do not like them in a house. I do not like them with a mouse. I do not like them here or there. I do not like them anywhere. I do not like green eggs and ham. I do not like them, Sam I am. Would you eat them in a box? Would you eat them with a fox? Not in a box, not with a fox. Not in a house, not with a mouse. I would not eat them here or there. I would not eat them anywhere. I would not eat green eggs and ham. I do not like them, Sam I am. Would you? Could you in a car? Eat them, here they are. I would not, could not in a car. You may like them, you will see. You may like them in a tree. I would not, could not in a tree. Not in a car, you let me be. I do not like them in a box. I do not like them with a fox. I do not like them in a house. I do not like them with a mouse. Do not like them here or there. I do not like them anywhere. Do not like green eggs and ham. I do not like them. Sam, I am. A train, a train, a train, a train. Could you, would you on a train? Not on a train, not in a tree, not in a car. Sam, let me be. Would not, could not in a box. I would not, could not with a fox. I will not eat them in a house. I will not eat them here or there. Will not eat them anywhere. Do not eat green eggs and ham. I do not like them, Sam I am. Say, in the dark, here in the dark. Would you, could you in the dark? Would not, could not in the dark. Would you, could you in the rain? I would not, could not in the rain, not in the dark, not on a train, not in a car, not in a tree. Do not like them, Sam, you see. Not in a house, not in a box, not with a mouse, not with a fox. I will not eat them here or there. I do not like them anywhere. You do not like green eggs and ham? I do not like them, Sam, I am. Could you, would you with a goat? I would not, could not with a goat. Could you on a boat? I could not, would not on a boat. I will not with a goat. I will not eat them in the rain, not in the dark, not in a tree, not in a car, you let me be. I do not like them in a box. I do not like them with a fox. I will not eat them in a house. I do not like them with a mouse. I do not like them here or there. I do not like them anywhere. I do not like green eggs and ham. I do not like them, Sam I am. You do not like them? So you say. Try them, and you may. Try them, and you may, I say. Sam! If you let me be, I will try them. You will see. And so he tries them. Say, I like green eggs and ham. I do. I like them, Sam I am. I would eat them in a boat. I would eat them with a goat. And I will eat them in the rain, and in a car, and in a tree. They are so good, you see. So I will eat them in a box, and I will eat them with a fox. And I will eat them in a house, and I will eat them with a mouse. And I will eat them here and there. Say, I would eat them anywhere. I do like green eggs and ham. Thank you, Sam I Am. Hey everyone, thanks for joining us today. So this recording we wanted to do because for my birthday, which is today, April 5th, right now as I'm recording this, we got in the mail one of my birthday presents. So because of everything going on, I haven't been able to leave the house really, and my husband and I aren't really doing anything. He's making me dinner. We're going to grill because it's fairly nice out today. But he told me to order what we would like from Amazon, and one of the gifts came in today, which happened to be a book that we had been looking for off and on for years and years. It was one of my favorite books in childhood. It's called Help, I'm a Prisoner in the Library. So this one is a full-length book. It's not super long, but it's about 100 pages. I'm going to go ahead and try to get through this entire book for you guys in one fell swoop. So just, I'm going to apologize in advance for any missteps or problems as I'm talking. Additionally, this is a paperback book in my hand, so you'll probably hear a little bit of background noise. Sorry, I wish I could do something about that, but these are just like quick productions that we're doing. So I hope everyone's okay with that. I'm just going to go ahead and jump in. Hope you guys enjoy it. Help! I'm a Prisoner in the Library. Eith Clifford. Illustrated by George Hughes. Chapter 1. Last Minute Harry. The whole thing was really Mr. One Tree's fault. At least, that's what Mary Rose thought. It began because her father didn't stop for gas in time. The needle pointed to empty. Mary Rose called Mr. One Tree's attention to that fact each time they passed a gas station. I've told you 100 times, Mr. One Tree said. I can still go another 10 or 15 miles easily. There was no use trying to talk to her father, Mary Rose knew. Mr. One Tree never took care of anything until the very last minute. When it came time to pay his taxes, he stood in line at the post office to get his letter mailed just before the midnight deadline. When he had to get new license plates, he always wound up on the last day of the month at the end of the line that went around the block. Mrs. One Tree called him Last Minute Harry. Mr. One Tree had waited till the last minute to take Mary Rose and her sister, Jo Beth, who was asleep on the back seat of the car, to stay with Aunt Madge. It's beginning to snow, Mrs. One Tree had warned her husband. I'd like to see Mary Rose and Jo Beth settled in with Madge before I go to the hospital. Before Mr. One Tree could answer, she went on. I'm the one who's having the baby, Harry, so don't tell me there's lots of time. I don't see why you need another baby around here, Jo Beth had said. I think 2 girls in the family are plenty. Jo Beth had liked the idea of going to visit Aunt Madge, who had just moved to Indianapolis, but she didn't think she should be pushed out of her own house because a new baby was coming. It would probably be a boy anyway, because that's what her father kept hoping it would be, and then there would be a lot of fuss over it. Wait and see, she told Mary Rose darkly. You'll probably have a boy, Jo Beth had said, getting what her mother called that gloomy Gus look on her face. And we'll probably all be standing here till doomsday, Mrs. One Tree had answered impatiently, trying to push her family out the door. I'll drop them off and come right back, Mr. One Tree had promised. As soon as I can, anyway. I figure a good 2 hours there and another 2 hours back. You're not to speed. Mary Rose, make sure your father doesn't speed. And you watch that gas gauge, too. When it's down to a quarter of a tank, you remind your father to stop at a gas station. Don't let him wait till the last minute. I know I can depend on you, Mary Rose, her mother had added. So Mary Rose had watched the gauge, and she reminded her father when the needle moved way down below the quarter tank mark. But it didn't help. And now here they were, pulled over to the curb on some strange corner in Indianapolis. Mary Rose was surprised the car hadn't stopped dead right in the middle of the street. Jo Beth woke up. "Are we there yet?" She rubbed the car window. "I can't see out. Why are we just sitting here?" "We're out of gas," Mary Rose said in her best I told you so voice, "and it's snowing harder." "You girls sit tight," Mr. One Tree started to jump out of the car. "I'm going to get the gas can from the trunk and jog over to that gas station we passed a few blocks back. Remember, stay in the car and keep the doors locked. I'll be back in a couple of minutes." "We'll freeze," Jo Beth said with frustration and satisfaction. "The snow will come down and cover the car, and we'll freeze to death while you're gone." Mr. One Tree shook his head. How could two sisters be so different? They looked very much alike, with their fine, straight brown hair and dark brown eyes and their bright smiles, except that Jo Beth's smile showed a tooth missing in front. Mary Rose was a practical-minded girl. Responsible. That's what Mary Rose was. Jo Beth, on the other hand, made a big deal out of everything. She could dramatize the smallest happening. "Freeze to death." Mr. One Tree shook his head again. "Cover yourself with the blanket if you get cold, and remember, keep the doors locked." The minute Mr. One Tree was out of sight, Jo Beth announced, "I have to go to the bathroom."
"Why didn't you say something before? You could have gone to the gas station with Daddy."
"I didn't have to go then. I have to go now," Jo Beth added. "It's an emergency."
"You were just like Dad. Everything at the last minute. You'll just have to hold back."
"I can't hold back. It's an emergency, Mary Rose." Mary Rose sighed.
"Well, maybe someone will let us in someplace. Come on."
The two girls got out of the car. Mary Rose squinted her eyes half closed to keep the snow and the rising wind from cutting off her vision. "There's a building down the street. They probably have a bathroom. Come on, Jo Beth. Walk fast. It's cold." The snow was settling. Walking was a struggle. Jo Beth held her head down because the wind was nipping her cheeks and nose. Mary Rose kept staring ahead so she could see how much further they had to go. So it was Mary Rose who spotted the sign in front of a huge old house not far from the corner. The Fenton Memorial Library for Children. Hours, 9 to 5 daily. Mary Rose pushed her sleeve back so she could see her watch. It would be 5 o'clock in about 5 minutes. "Quick, Jo Beth," she shouted at her sister. "We can go in here. It's a library. They always have a bathroom in the library." The girls hurried up the steps, which led to a wide stone porch that seemed to wrap itself around the front and sides of the house. Set back on the porch were two wide doors. The lower half of the doors were made of light and dark pieces of wood, set so they formed a diamond pattern. Smaller pieces of wood in the same design held large glass panels in place on the upper half of the doors. The glass seemed to have waves in it, like small ripples in a pond. When Mary Rose pushed the door open, the girls found themselves standing in an entryway.
"At least it's warm in here," Jo Beth said, brushing the snow from her jacket and jeans. "Look at this floor. I never saw one like this before," said Mary Rose.
The floor was made of mosaic, soft-colored blue and gray chips of stone that had been laid in place by hand, piece by piece.
"It has pictures in it."
Jo Beth didn't care about pictures in a floor. She was busy opening another door in the entry. Like the front door, this, too, was half wood and half glass.
"This isn't a library," Jo Beth said. "This is somebody's house."
"No, it isn't. Look at all the books." There were books everywhere, on shelves, on tables, on carts, and on a large desk, which Mary Rose guessed must belong to the librarian. The room the girls were standing in was quite large. Mary Rose had to lean her head way back to see the high decorated ceiling. The rich brown wood walls glowed in the light of an enormous crystal chandelier hanging in the center of the room.
The chandelier had tiny glass droplets that made a slight tinkling sound caused by the breeze that had whistled in when the girls had opened the front door. They could see other rooms through a number of arched doorways. To their right, toward the back of the house, a wide, handsome stairway turned and twisted to an upper floor. The steps were covered with dark red carpeting. Across the bottom step, stretching from one banister to the other, was a black velvet twisted rope. In the middle of the rope was a sign with the words, "Private. No admittance to the public." It was very, very quiet. There was no one in the room, not even a librarian. "Where is everybody?" JoBeth asked in a hushed voice. "Who'd come out in this kind of weather to go to the library?" Mary Rose demanded. "Except us, because you and I..." "Because you and your emergencies."
"But where's the librarian?"
JoBeth insisted. "She's probably looking in all the rooms to make sure everybody's gone before she locks up and goes home," Mary Rose explained. She looked around. "It sure is different. Hey, JoBeth, look back there. That looks like some funny old kind of wagon in that back room, with people sitting in it." Mary Rose sounded excited. "Come on, let's go see what it is." JoBeth wasn't interested. When Mary Rose mentioned the emergency, she suddenly remembered why they were here. She caught sight of the sign that said "Restroom." An arrow pointed to the back of the house. "Really have to go," JoBeth warned.